very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. We would like to welcome, on behalf of our congregation and parish, those who are worshiping physically and those who are doing so via Zoom. I would like to welcome especially those who are worshiping with us for the first time or are doing so after a long while. Our service this morning has an additional element we will be having towards the close of the service, our stated annual meeting, and we are hoping that all of us would stay to participate in that very significant meeting, which is coming after the last one took place in 2019. We will now take our call to worship.
Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 25, verses 6 to 14. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for your Lord are good. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. And we'll sing together our first hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Let us pray. O God, eternal and ever blessed, you call us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Look mercifully upon us as we worship and adore you. Order what is disordered in our lives. Bring our minds to your truth, our consciences to your law, and our hearts to your love, that in fellowship with your church, we may hear your voice and be enabled to answer you with humble confidence and willing obedience. God of peace and grace, your salvation is never far from repentant hearts. We confess the sins which have led us away from you to lose the clear vision of heavenly things. They brought us many troubles and sorrows. We remember with shame how often we have forgotten our duties as Christians and lost our faith. We ask you, O merciful Father, to forgive us, to bless us, and to enrich us in every way. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Good morning, children. Do we have children in church this morning? How is everybody today? Good? Did you have a nice week in school last week? The weekend has just gone by so quickly. Tomorrow, back to school, right? I want us to talk about obedience this morning. What does it mean to obey or to be obedient? Yes, Sebas?
Does it mean to obey people?
Okay. To obey means to obey people. Good answer. Is there another way to put it? Obedience. When you say you are obedient, what does it mean? Yes? Following the rules. Very good. Following the rules, yes. Any other answer? Yes. You have to listen. Oh, wow. You have to listen. You are very bright this morning. Very good, all of you. Obedience is to obey. It is to follow the rules. It is to listen. Now, let me ask you next question. Do you sometimes find it hard to obey rules or to follow rules? Do you? Okay, everybody's nodding their head. Sometimes you find it hard. And let me put it in context. For example, you may obey the rules, but obey them only halfway through. If your teacher gives you an assignment or homework, then you do only part of it. Can you say that you have obeyed the rules? If they give you a homework, you bring homework home, and you do only part of it. So, for example, if it is maths, you do 5, and you leave the other 5. Have you completed the task? Would you say you have finished the rules? Or, for example, if mom or dad says you should do the dishes, and there are 5 of them, you do only 2. Have you followed the rules? You haven't followed the rules. So when we come to church, because there are many people who started coming to church like you are doing today, and at some point in their lives, they stopped coming. Have they followed the rules? They have stopped at a point. So we are encouraged that when we start following Christ, or when we are doing something, we should be able to complete it. When we receive work from school, from the teachers, homework, we go back home, we cannot do part of it. If we do only part of it, it means we have not fulfilled the whole thing, or we have not followed all the rules. And so as Christian people, Jesus Christ also calls us to be obedient to him, to be totally obedient. As we follow him, we should follow the rules. It's not only about coming to church. I like to see you here every Sunday, but it's also being obedient back home to your parents, at school, to your teachers, and doing the things that are right. And if we do that, then we will continue to be the good children that we are. So we will now ask God to help us to continue to be obedient to Him and to all those around us, especially our own parents and our seniors. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we lift ourselves up to you and especially our children. Young as they are, we are grateful to you that they can open their mouths to speak, to be able, oh Father, to share their own experiences and also open their hearts to learn. We pray that you would instill within them that spirit of obedience, that they do not only listen, but they are ready and able to follow the rules and to live lives that are consecrated to your service. Bless us and bless our children and bless your work in this place. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next theme, Jesus puts this song into our hearts. Children, do you like to stand when you sing? Can you stand? That was a difficult one, but thank God we got there.
Thank you. Our first reading is taken from the book of Jeremiah, reading from chapter 26, verses 1 to 15. Jeremiah threatened with death. Early in the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Joshua, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. This is what the Lord says: Stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house and speak to all the people of the towns of Judah who come to worship in the house of the Lord. Tell them everything I command you. Do not omit a word. Perhaps they will listen, and each will turn from his evil way. Then I will relent and not bring on them the disaster I was planning because of the evil they have done. Say to them, this is what the Lord says: If you do not listen to me and follow my law, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city an object of cursing among all the nations of the earth. The priests, the prophets, and all the people heard Jeremiah speak these words in the house of the Lord. But as soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all people seized him and said, You must die. Why do you prophesy in the Lord's name that this house will be like Shiloh, and this city will be desolate and deserted? And all the people crowded around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard about these things, they went up from the royal palace to the house of the Lord and took their places at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, This man should be sentenced to death because he has prophesied against the city. You have heard it in your own ears. Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and all the people, The Lord sent me to prophesy against the house and the city all the things you have heard. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on those who live in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to speak to you all these words in your hearing. Our second reading is taken from St. John's Gospel, reading from chapter 8, verses 21 to 30. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, Where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been claiming all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand he was telling them about his father, So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. May God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word. Let's continue our worship as we join to sing hymn 405.
Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, speak to us now, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our salvation. Amen. If you don't believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Those were the words of Jesus Christ to the Pharisees in a conversation where there was a dispute over who Jesus really was. After warning them they would perish if they did not believe in him, Jesus went on to say to them, where he was going, they could not come. He was predicting his death, and still they did not understand. In the Synoptic Gospels, there are three instances where Jesus specifically predicts his coming death in Jerusalem. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is moving closer and closer to Jerusalem as he describes the doom that awaits him. His disciples, on the other hand, expressed increasing incomprehension, denial, and fear that Jesus will actually die and that they too may suffer. And the Gospel of John parallels this with three statements about the lifting up of the Son of Man. In each case, we see John emphasize how it is God's sovereign will that determines his Son's fate. So the Son of Man must be lifted up. I do nothing on my own. The one who sent me is with me. Jesus' remarkable sense of the Father's presence, even as he describes the cross that awaits him, is linked to his perfect obedience to God's will. I always do what pleases him. I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, those are very significant words from Christ to the Savior, to the Pharisees. And Jesus meant that the Jews would one day seek him in vain. It was a painful prediction that such a Savior as the Lord Jesus, so full of love, so willing to save, should ever be sought in vain. Have you ever wondered, dear friend, what it means to seek Jesus, our Lord, in vain? There are many people who are religious, who profess the Christian faith, but do not have any saving knowledge of the Master. Their religion or the church is a solution center because they go to God only in times of need. During sickness, sudden affliction, the fear of death, the failure of usual sources of comfort. All these problems make people religious or prayerful, and they exhibit strong spiritual feelings, so that for a period they profess to see Christ. And despite all that, their hearts may never be touched at all. When the peculiar circumstances that affected them are no longer there, they turn to their old ways because they sought Christ in vain. They sought him from false motives and not with their whole heart. I think, friends, it is true to say that when people continuously reject God or seek him only superficially, God may become silent to their prayer. No wonder we read from Proverbs 1:28 and 29, "They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Safety is found when we seek Christ. Seeking him with a true heart and calling on him with an honest spirit. And such seeking is never in vain. And those who truly seek him will not die in their sin because they have repented. He that really comes to Christ shall never be cast away. The Lord solemnly declares that he takes no pleasure in the death of anyone. Repent and live. And I think, friends, one of the most challenging lessons of our text is the dreadful end of those who don't believe in God. Jesus says to his enemies, "If you don't believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Jesus was speaking specifically to the Pharisees, and he speaks still from eternity to us. And he said these words because they had dismissed his testimony and even openly opposed him. And Jesus now declares their doom. Friend, there is death, and then there is hell for those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Death is a reality that we must all face. We have always to be ready to leave this passing world. I read about a mother who was explaining to her little girl the death of her father. The mother said, "God has sent for your father and will send for us, but I don't know just when." Finally, the little girl said, "If you do not know just when God is going to send for us, do you not think we had better pack up and get ready to go? God might send when we are not ready," she ended. Dear Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we journey with Christ to the cross of shame during this season of Lent, let us commit ourselves to his cause and believe in his saving grace. Let us confess our unworthiness and put away every weight and sin which clings so closely as we run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And let us thank God for our lives now and praise him for the life to come, even life eternal. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, do not cast us away from your presence because of our disbelief. We confess for times when we have not fully committed ourselves to you and have not even believed you and your saving plan for our lives. Forgive us, take us again to yourself, and show us the path to life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, Before the Throne of God.
We will now dedicate our offerings. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we present these offerings to you, be it money, time, or talents. May they be used to build and sustain your kingdom here in this place. Amen. We will now pray for ourselves and others. There is a response in this prayer. After, Lord, in your mercy, the response is, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayers As members of a fallen humanity, subject to many temptations, we ask that you fill us with your Spirit as we follow your Son along the narrow and difficult path of life to make us better people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, strengthen those who come to you for refreshment and renewal, for those seeking to know their vocation and all who are trying to sort out their priorities. We pray for those who are called to minister to others, especially those in this parish, and as they give guidance and direction, may they too be encouraged by your word. We give thanks for all who have inspired or directed us. We ask you to bless and protect our loved ones and friends. We pray for those we know who have yet to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, or who are experiencing a dryness in their spiritual life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those in positions of authority and power in this world, that they may turn away from pride, greed, and worldly ambition and learn your ways of justice and peace and work together for the good of all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Lord, hear the cry of your people in battle zones and broken states, frightened, fearful, and anxious. For the many countries where human rights are ignored, where there is cruelty, exploitation, and war, hatred, manipulation, and deep sorrow. We especially pray for the people of Ukraine as we stand alongside them. We pray that world governments will respond with compassion and wisdom as we pray together for an end of conflict and war, both there and throughout the world. Evil intentions are destroying the dreams of the innocent, but there is hope as we see determination, resilience, and courage as people are gathered together in prayer. We see unity emerging in nations that were divided, humanitarian aid and families opening their homes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Lord, we bring before you those who are in a wilderness of pain, sorrow, doubt, fear, and loneliness, especially those with a life-limiting illness or mental anguish. Surround them all with your love and protection, and may they be aware of your presence in their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for your deep understanding of our lives and experiences. We thank you that however inadequate our prayers, you are ready to hear us and respond in ways beyond our understanding. May we never despair, but live by faith in your promise of unfailing love. We bring all these prayers to you through the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
If you are able, please rise and together let us affirm our faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We will now get into our annual congregational meeting. We have 7 items on the agenda. We have constitution, apologies, minutes of previous stated annual meeting, finance report, minister's report, cluster report, and then benediction. I think for the annual stated meeting to go on, we need a quorum of active members who worship in the congregation, and I think that quorum is formed. And so we shall get on with the meeting. Are there any apologies? Okay, Graham? Yes? Bill Emily. Thank you. Minutes of previous annual stated meeting. The minutes had been sent out, so I will just ask if there are any things to be corrected on those minutes. Minutes of meeting 10th March 2019. If there are no corrections, we will move for adoption of the minutes, and I will ask two members of the congregation to do so. Lisbeth and Kirsten and Dawn. Thank you. Shall we take the finance report now?
It's okay, it's not a musical number. It's just to save too many people. You'd be delighted it's not musical. It's to save too many people using the lectern. By church law, the Kirk Session is required to present to this congregational meeting the annual accounts and the budget for the forthcoming year. Because of COVID, we haven't had a meeting, and as such, as you'll be aware, there are three sets of accounts to go through, so there's over 60 pages for me to cover. As a result, I'm sure you'd welcome very brief summaries rather than anything in depth. If you want anything more in detail, please ask me later. I'll be as brief as I can, but cover some of the more significant points. The 3 years are being presented to you today. The accounts have all been approved by the Kirk Session as official trustees. They've been subject to independent examination, in our case by a retired CA. And 2019 and 2020 accounts have also been attested. They've been approved by Presbytery prior to submission to OSCAR. They will go, the 2021 accounts, the latest ones, will go to Presbytery. In fact, have gone. We're just awaiting them to examine them. A few slides for you to see. The first one we have, it's looking at the what we call the statement of financial activities, the SOFA. The last 3 years together, and three columns left to right. We've got 2019 in the grey, 2020 in the orange colour, and 2021 in the blue. And it shows we're reasonably consistent throughout the 3 years. And the left-hand half of the columns are all aspects of the church, and the right-hand half is the general fund, the normal running of the church. The main difference between the two is the input from Manna financially, both its trading and its contribution to the church. So you can see we're plodding along nicely, dropped a bit last year, but have picked up again this year, thankfully. Next slide focuses on 2021, this past year. The expenditure are in the boxes, the blue boxes, and the income for each of those funds is the line that goes with it. And again, you can see the income pretty much matches the expenditure. And it shows the relevant size of the different funds, the bigger ones on the left, the general fund, Manna, and then dropping down the youth work fund and the fabric fund, and the others more or less pale into insignificance on an ongoing year-to-year basis. Can I just say that the fabric fund there is a little higher because in the past year we repaired the wall that was damaged by a vehicular collision in Scott Street, and there was about £9,000 of expenditure and the insurance recovery in that. So it's a wee bit higher than normal. As you can see, the expenditure is a bit higher than income, and it's something we've had for a few years. As the buildings get older, they need more and more attention, unfortunately. The next slide shows the balance sheets, what we have and what we're having it for. The left-hand half, the assets that we're holding, the tangible fixed assets, that's the shops we own. If you don't know, the four shops in Cooper Road, the Potato Merchant, the Butcher, and the Two for Manna are owned by us as a church, and it does have a value, decreasing to some extent with years going by, but still a worthwhile asset. The investments, the big bit in the middle, are safely invested with Barclays in a charitable fund that they run. And the middle column there, the cash at the bank, is the money that we and Manna both have physically in the bank and lodged with the Church of Scotland in Edinburgh. The
right-hand half show the different types of fund. The general fund, I've mentioned, the designated funds. Now, they're funds that we have power over what we do with them, what we call them. The two big ones there are the fabric fund and the shops, the value of the shops there. The restricted funds are ones which we can't do much with regarding income and expenditure because the money was given to us for a specific purpose, and the main one in there is MANA, because that money is for youth work. And the endowment funds at the far end are old historic ones we have where the money is invested. We can use the income from that to help pay for the mission and ministries work that we have. Next slide shows the general fund income, the running of the church. And a couple of slides ago, you'll have seen that the income was about £76,000, if you spotted that. This slide shows you how the income is broken down. This shows the split. About two-thirds of it coming from offerings and another chunk from tax recovered on that gift aid. The use of premises, you can see there at 4% up in the top left-hand corner. It's a small amount, and just to give you a flavour, in 2019, before COVID, the income there was over £6,000. Last year, it was £811. That's the impact that COVID has had on our hall income. Expenditure hasn't greatly gone down because of that, but that's a significant one there. It is hopefully going to pick up a bit this year as people begin to come back, but some organisations are not coming back, or we're less likely to have some of the parties and things like that we've had. So the income will drop a bit this year, but it'll pick up on the very poor year we had last year. Next slide, just to quickly move along, is a split of the general fund expenditure. And just over half of it goes to what we call ministries and mission. And that's money we give to the Church of Scotland headquarters in Edinburgh. It pays for ministers, including our minister. We don't pay Amos directly. He's paid by the church centrally. It pays for other ministers doing other work, for retired ministers. It pays for mission work overseas and all the other aspects of the Church of Scotland. So our contribution goes towards that. And that is based on the income we have. We have to give a certain percentage of that to the general trustees. Other items are there, and it's pretty much general running. So one thing I did miss on the previous slide was that there is a wee 4% there for what was called coronavirus and other grants, at 4% of our total income. Can I just say that over the 2 years, 2020 and 2021, we received over £41,500 for coronavirus job retention scheme grant. That's for the furlough scheme, which the UK government had put in place. It allowed us to take the decision to keep paying all our employees, whether at MANA, playing the organ, youth working or whatever, pay them their full pay, albeit we only got 80% back from the government, but it was a huge boost to that. And MANA also benefited by £32,000 over the 2 years from the Scottish Government in the way of grants, because they were in the hospitality industry. So those two things have greatly assisted us financially over the last couple of years. Obviously they have now stopped, so we're into normal life once again. Next slide is just a split of the offerings over the 3 years, and shows a very welcome increase in this past year in the gift-aided donations. Those who pay tax, whether it's especially income tax, are able to sign a form for us and we can reclaim that money from the government. Partly the increase is catch up from people returning to worship from the two previous years, and part of it is people now giving by standing order rather than giving through the open plate. They're paying through the bank on a monthly basis or four-weekly basis to us, and the money will keep coming to us even if the people don't manage to come to church. And again, just a quick aside, the open plate, the plate at the door where people come in and leave their offerings, the cash offerings that are left. 3 years ago, before COVID, it was fractionally under £9,000, and last year it was less than £2,000. So there's £7,000 of income we've lost for a year, and gradually over those years. So compared now to then, we're struggling by £7,000 on that as well. I say struggling, but we'll finish with a better image towards the end. Next slide shows the movement in funds, just to show again the bigger funds that we have, how they've moved. General fund on the left, the manna in the middle, and between the two of them, that's the vast majority of our finances. In case you're wondering, the great big item in the extreme left-hand column for income on the general fund is because we had a significant legacy from a former lady member who died, and that made a huge income boost in that year. Caused us one or two problems financially, but we've passed them now and have moved on. But the money is here, we are busy using it for various aspects of the church. And the manna, the second column in on manna, the slightly higher expenditure, or significantly higher expenditure, was because they refurbished the kitchen area in the summer of 2019. And our next slide shows the balance on the various funds that we have, and it's split two colours between grey at the bottom, which is the capital element, money we have invested, and the top element is the revenue funds, share of that funds which we have ready to spend in cash. They're there, again, it just shows the various bits and how we run with them. Following slide is, and I decided to wear a stripy tie so you wouldn't think that was me in the photograph. The tie looked pretty similar, and the jacket, but not the shirt, so it's not me with the budget box. And I appreciate the choir has now run out of slides. But all I want to say on the budget for this incoming year is that the only significant change in our income expenditure that we're anticipating is an increase of £5,000 in that ministries and mission allocation that we have to pay. Now, sounds unfair, but in all honesty, it was reduced by £8,000 for 2021 because the Church of Scotland centrally felt that congregations were going to have a very difficult year in 2021, so they've used up a lot of their reserves to benefit all the congregations. So with a big benefit last year, a little of it is being reinstated, or more than half of it being reinstated this year, but not quite as bad as it was 2 years ago. So that money to find as well, along with the drop in the open plate, the drop in the hall income and whatever. We are obviously expecting some increases with bigger attendances at worship in the morning, and thank you all for increasing the numbers. We are getting somewhere over 70 each week now. Before lockdown, we were just over the 100, so we are getting there, and that is very much appreciated. And because people are coming back, there's income coming back, not only here, but from other activities. Manna's coming back to life as well. So through all that, we have prepared our budget, and we are still showing a deficit in that of £4,000, which is not huge, and given everything else going on in the world at the moment, it's not something I can jump up and down and say, please help us today because we're desperate. You can see from the money we're not desperate. We don't want to run with deficits for too many years, but we can stand the odd one or two. Hopefully, by this time next year, we'll be worldwide, internationally, in a much better position to be able to focus on charity locally as well as internationally. That's all I have to say for this morning. If there are any questions, I'll happily take them. If you want to ask me anything after, more than happy to answer them. There are no questions. I'll hand back to Amos to continue the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Philip. If there are no questions, I'll assume that we've all approved this report and also agreed to the suggestions which the finance convener has made and also adopted the budget. Is everybody fine with that? That will go down on the minute. Thank you very much. The next item is Minister's report. On the 17th of May 2022, it will be exactly 5 years since I was inducted to provide spiritual oversight as parish minister here in Newport-on-Tay. And how time flies. I can't believe that it's already 5 years. And I've thoroughly enjoyed my work with you people and in this congregation. In making an attempt this morning or this afternoon, it's already past midday, to provide a kind of report on my stewardship to the congregation, I want to talk briefly about pastoral care and spirituality and other ways in which we have been negotiating our mission within the community. And I'm sure that you know, apart from preaching in church every Sunday when I'm around, I also do work with care homes, specifically at St. Serves, where I used to take services interchangeably with Reverend Dennis. And she retired almost 3 years ago, and I had to do that myself. So every Wednesday, I have to go down to St. Serves to take service. And other aspects of pastoral care have been carried out jointly by our pastoral care team. And I'm grateful so much for the work that they have been doing. Of course, because of COVID, it was not possible to continue doing that because we could not move into people's houses. And other ways of keeping contact is by visitation. But during COVID, I largely did that by making phone calls and finding out how some of the more vulnerable members of the congregation were doing. And again, because it was difficult to visit people, I thought in the past 2 years, how could we keep up the spirit? And then we introduced the daily Bible readings, which I think are helpful for edifying the spiritual lives of the members and helping them improve on their Bible knowledge. And then also the 40 days Lenten reflections and prayers, which we've been carrying out. All these have been to enable us to continue to build our faith. And there are other commitments too. I think one of the things in the Church of Scotland is how many emails you have to read as a minister. Sometimes it takes up much more time even than the real things we have to do. And other meetings that we have to attend at presbytery levels, and then taking charge of other congregations as interim moderator. You would know I was interim moderator for Kyrenny. After that, I was assigned to take care of Tayport, Wormit, and Balmorino, and CFK. Thank God, some of those places' responsibilities have been reduced. And even as we serve, we also find ways to develop ourselves. And concerning personal development, I have attended some academic conferences over the years. I have also been privileged to take other courses to improve myself. In 2020, when COVID struck, I took a course on mediation and obtained an executive diploma of mediation from the International Career Institute in London. Last year, I was appointed honorary lecturer of world Christianity in the St. Andrews University. I want to really thank God for this congregation and to say that the strength of our work is in the ways all of us bring our gifts to the church. And we have a Kirk session that is vibrant and committed and forward-looking. And each time we meet, we try to reinvent the things that we are doing and think forward. And most especially, I think we are so privileged to have a group of persons we call the worship team. And because of their commitment, they would take services when I'm away on annual leave. And over the years, that has saved us a lot of money we would have been paying for pulpit supply. So we have to be grateful for their services and to thank all of you, the congregation, for the support you are giving us to lead you. The future is still ahead of us with changes coming into the cluster. Much more work needs to be done. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, and it is God. We pray that He will continue to reveal Himself to us and will continue to bless us. Finally, I want to say that We've not only been enjoying our time here, but we've also increased more than we arrived. When we arrived here, we were fewer than we are now. So God is blessing us mightily, and we know that He is blessing you too. So thank you very much, and that will be all for my report. We will now take cluster report.
I'm going to start briefly with presbytery. The last time we met for our 2019 stated annual meeting, we were members of the Presbytery of St Andrews. However, on the 1st of January 2021, the Presbytery of Fife was born, an amalgamation of the presbyteries of Dunfermline, Kirkcaldy and St Andrews. A major focus of the new presbytery is the creation of a mission plan. And the draft plan has to be submitted to the June meeting of presbytery, so time is running short, and the plan has to be finalised and published by the end of 2022. It's fair to say that one of the major parts of the mission planning process has been the question of how many parishes and ministers there will be. In our own area, in our own cluster, for over a year, representatives from each of the six parishes have been debating the future. In particular, there's been much discussion around whether we might amalgamate into one parish with one or two ministers or full-time equivalent ministers, one Kirk session, and ultimately one central or traditional church building. The other main suggestion is two parishes, each with its own minister, and there have been various different views on the geographical areas to be covered by such two parishes. Discussions have been hampered by the fact that the results of a review of buildings by presbytery have not yet been published, nor do we yet know the number of ministers to be allocated to our cluster. The cluster had to report the outcome of its discussions to presbytery last month. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the cluster has been unable to reach consensus, so the report to presbytery has been an explanation of each Kirk session's conclusions. It's worth, amongst all this, reminding ourselves that we were allowed to call Amos on a 7-year reviewable tenure. The 7 years are not up until 2024, which means that any change for us can be delayed until then. But it's safe to say that after that, change will be on its way. I'm sorry not to be coming up with any definite conclusion, but we are, as you can gather, in the midst of these discussions and this planning process. There will undoubtedly be developments during 2022, and our Kirk session will keep you up to date as matters progress. That's my report. Are there any questions?
No questions. Sorry, I did not ask whether there were questions to my report. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Thank you for that report. I think our meeting is finished now. And I want to thank you all for being so patient and for being very keen listeners and for not asking questions so that the meeting should drag on. Thank you very much, and we will continue to pray for our church. We will now take our final hymn as we bring this service to its close, and it's Church Hymnary 396, and Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood?
Thank you.
in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.